Nathaniel Hawthorne has that story called The Midas Touch, and it recounts how once upon a time there lived a very rich king whose name was Midas, and he loved gold more than anything else. One day King Midas was in his treasure room counting his gold, but he was not satisfied. He said, "I wish that everything I touch would turn to gold." His wish was granted. Everything that King Midas touched turned to gold, including his granddaughter. The king became miserable. What he thought would make him happy had brought misery to him, and he asked that the curse be reversed, and he promised to give up all his gold. They say sometimes the only thing worse than not getting what you want is getting what you want. We say, now, that Midas Touch story has a little analogy in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's like evil was contagious. Original sin had been contracted by Adam, and it was passed on to everyone from Adam. All of his children. Original sin is passed on. It was contagious, like sin and death. The sin of Adam and Eve had infected all of humanity, and there was no remedy for these plagues of sin, sickness, suffering, and death. Obviously, the touch of evil had the upper hand. It was the momentum of Eden. Part of Judaic law was, if you touch a corpse, you became unclean. And also, like in that gospel, the healing of the woman with the hemorrhage, if you touch a woman, you became unclean. So the two stories in the gospel would, for the Jewish mind, would, if anybody touched either the corpse or the woman with the hemorrhage, they would become unclean. These people had been cut off from society. The woman was so desperate that she touches our Lord. Now, normally, like we say, Judaic law, Book of Leviticus says that touch would render Jesus Christ unclean. But what happens is she becomes clean. She becomes healed. That miracle is a sign that it's the end of Mosaic law. Levitical practice it no longer pertains. Okay? Contact with Christ brings healing and life. Just as the little child who is dead, Jesus touches her, she comes back to life. Okay? So in the New Testament, the curse gets reversed. Enter Jesus Christ, exit Satan. The tide has turned. The touch of God brings not sickness, suffering, death, but healing, forgiveness, and life. Like we say, in Jesus Christ, the curse is reversed. Outside of Jesus Christ, evil has the upper hand. In the world, evil still has the upper hand. But in Jesus Christ, in the church, we can receive mercy and grace and that healing touch. Maybe one other story that might illustrate it is it's that incomprehensible story of the man who is traveling through the wilderness, and all the water that he came upon was stagnant. It was foul. It was undrinkable. Except there was one stream that ran through the wilderness that had this pure, fresh, clean water. And one day, this man decides to follow that stream to its source. And through the forests, over the hills, he continues to follow that pure stream of water to its source. Up a mountain, he came to the source of that fresh water. It says, and the source of that fresh water was the mouth of a dead dog. Obviously, it's a bizarre story with an incomprehensible ending. But the resolution is that it is more comprehensible that pure fresh water would flow from the mouth of a dog than that mercy and grace would flow from the hands of a priest in the church. The healing and the life conferred upon Christ by Christ in today's gospel, those miracles continue in the church through the hands of the priest, through the absolution and confession, through the sacrament of Holy Communion, through the sacrifice of the Mass. Mercy and grace flow through the hands of a priest. And like we said, it's more comprehensible that fresh water would flow from the mouth of a dead dog than that mercy and grace would flow from the hands of a priest. But it's a sign that the priest must be a humble instrument of bringing God's grace and mercy to others. There's that story of the priest who was about to perform an exorcism, and the person he was about to perform the exorcism on spoke. And the possessed person said, "I fear him not, for he is proud. I fear him not, for he is proud." The devil does not fear the proud. He only fears the humble. Like we say, Saint Joseph is called the terror of demons because of his humility. It's more comprehensible that that water would flow from the mouth of a dead dog than that mercy and grace would flow from the hands of a priest. The curé of Ars has this quote. He says, "If a house were full of gold, but there was no one who could unlock the door, of what use would it be?" And he's using this analogy to say that the hands of a priest are the key that opens the doors to the treasures of God's mercy and grace. Like, there's a traditional devotion to the hands of a priest. After ordination, people kiss the hands of the priest because, like we say, it brings the touch of Christ, the healing mercy and grace of Christ into the world. The forces of evil would rather bring one priest to disgrace than 1,000 lay people. It would be more advantageous to the interest of evil to bring one priest to disgrace than 1,000 other lay people. Like they say, Satanists are fasting for the capitulation of priests and religious. We should at least imitate their zeal by our prayers, by our coming to the sacraments, by our reception of the mercy and grace. Who of us doesn't need healing and resurrection? It's the touch of the priest, it's the touch of Christ in the church that confers that mercy and grace to us.